Welcome to the broadcast of Riverside Church in Princeton, North Carolina. Riverside Church preaching Christ and Him crucified. For more information, check out our website at www.riversidefwb.com.
Just give me a couple of minutes. Give me a couple of minutes as we look in the book of Hebrews. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to try not to get real deep into it, but you know your preacher. I don't want to lie from the pulpit. But we're looking at Hebrews chapter number 12. The reason I just can't let you go home is because you got to hear this. You just has got to hear this morning. And Hebrews chapter number 12, as we've gone verse by verse, chapter by chapter, today will be no different. We adhere to what the Word says. You got to go home with the Word. I know you heard the testimonies that were presented with you today, but this will help your testimony. Back in chapter number 11, we heard by faith. By faith. Well, faith grows by hearing the Word and hearing and hearing and hearing. And you're going to hear the Word this morning, and it will build your faith. In Hebrews chapter number 12, it starts with a therefore. The therefore is there for a reason. It's actually the hinge that swings open chapter number 12 because of chapter number 11. By faith, these great men of the Hall of Fame of faith did great things. They stepped out in faith. They walked in faith. They didn't have a clear picture. They simply walked out in confidence and trust in something or someone, and His name is Jesus. For we see here, therefore, is the hinge of chapter 11 into chapter number 12. For here in chapter number 12, we are not under the law anymore like they were in chapter number 11. But we are now walking into privileges of grace. But the privileges of grace also have a counter side. When you neglect this kind of grace and you deny this kind of grace, you're also under the penalty of the wrath of God, because He has provided a way of mercy. So this morning, let that resonate in your soul that you walk under grace. But let us walk together. Chapter number 12, verse number 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and every sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here, Paul the Apostle is telling us and reminding us back in chapter number 11, those witnesses. No, those witnesses are there, but they're not witnesses necessarily standing around the TV set in heaven watching your life, witnessing your life. No, they're bearing witness to God in faith, what God will do by faith. They're coming forward and say, this is what God has done with me. Moses says, I walked across the Red Sea on dry land. Noah said, I walked in faith by building the ark, and I found mercy and grace for myself and my family. They bear witness to the faith that they have received by God and trusting in Him. Where do you find yourself? Do you find yourself bearing witness? Or do they bear a witness against you that you don't stand in faith and believe what God has said, standing on His promises? The cloud of witnesses. They're basically used in this analogy also as a group of people who gather and encourage those who are in the race. Rest assured and know this morning, that we are in the race that's set before us. Your race, your track, the road that you go on will look much different than mine. But these who are gathered there, they're a cloud of witnesses who have gone on before us, who have gone on their track. They've done their race. Now they will testify that God is faithful. And one day, maybe next year, maybe next week, you will gather with these witnesses if you are faithful. In verse number 1, we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Basically, I've told you before that your Bible is God's resume. If you were an employer and someone brought you a resume and wanted to work for you, you would look over their resume, you would look over their reputation. And these 66 books of the canon is God's reputation. What hath God done? How has He been faithful to those who were faithless? How has He helped those who were helpless? How has He healed the broken? How has He redeemed the unredeemable? How has He loved the unlovable? This is God's resume. Have you thumbed through His resume lately? Have you seen His power and His might? Have you took notice of His faithfulness, His loyalty throughout generation to generation? Have you noticed His power and His might? We're always looking for a God. We'll serve all kinds of gods. In fact, Our hearts are idol factories. We're constantly pumping out other gods to serve other than Him. If you'll be honest this morning, you served other gods. You ran after other gods and worshiped them. Notice, it's a God with a lowercase g. These gods have took from you, taken your livelihood. They took in your mind. They stripped your soul, left you bare. Left you without hope. But the uppercase G, God, Jesus Christ, doesn't take anything from you but your sins. Amen. He doesn't take anything from you but your torment, your guilt. He takes that from you and gives you life abundantly forevermore. Yes. We see that the word witness is here. They're theirs who bear witness. If you were to go down to the local courthouse, those who are being charged, they're going to be transferred to a local jail facility. But they might have an alibi. They might say, I was here and there. And they might have a good story. Most of them, all of them say they ain't guilty. I know that. But most of them are not guilty or maybe are guilty. But they all lack one thing. Not a good lawyer. Not a lot of money. Not style. They all lack a witness who will stand there and say, yes, they were with me when their crime went down. They were with me. I saw them. They were there. We're all witnesses to where they were. Here we see that in chapter number 12 that the witnesses bear witness to God and what He has done. In your hands is the eyewitness accounts of what God has done. When Christ rose from the dead after 3 days in the grave, there were 512 eyewitnesses who saw Jesus walk among them. He sat with them. He ate with them. He spoke to them. You have these witnesses' accounts in your hands. Yet you will not believe. Yet you have no faith. Yet you stay up at night, turning in your bed, flooding your pillow with tears because what are you going to do? Your heart melts with anxiety. You run to the medicine cabinet to shove pills down your throat until you're numb because of the stress around you. You run to functional saviors, the ABC store, or the corner pharmacy, the guy under the tree selling stuff out of his pocket. You find something to get you through when all you need is found in God's Word. He holds the earth upon nothing. He puts the stars in the sky. Don't wish upon a star. Speak to the Creator of all the universe. Put to death your anxieties today, for there is a God. And these witnesses bear an account of what God can do. So this is to stir you this morning. Just to look back in Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those through faith and patience inherited the promises. We are to put aside every weight. We're to put off the old self, which belongs your former manner of life. That is, your corrupt through deceitful desires. Ephesians 4:22. That we are to believe these witnesses and put off anything that causes us to stumble in our race of faith. We are to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us in the text. That means that your sin is different than my sin. Maybe you don't deal with this sin, but we all still sin. But we are to put it off. Jesus told those that gathered around Him, pluck out your eye and cut off your hand, at least you're thrown whole into hell. Or you've gotten to the point where you've cut off hands and pluck off eyes. Doesn't mean getting rid of your phone. Doesn't mean getting rid of your cell service. Doesn't mean deleting numbers. Doesn't mean cutting off your TV. Are you at the point where you're shedding excess weight in this race? The analogy here that the author is using is in Greek times when they do the Olympics, the original Olympics. The athletes would show up and they would shed anything that would cause them to be weighted down. Anything that would cause them to run sluggish. In fact, they would strip naked and run the race because their lives were on the line as they gather there. The only one that survived the race was the one that came in first. Do you understand that? In the original Olympics. So you were literally running for your life. So you're going to shed whatever's going to cause you to be entangled. You're going to take off those weights. Those things that slow you down. Church, the story hasn't changed. We're literally running for our lives now. But we're too busy. Stop going to the corner to pick the daisies being distracted by the scenery. Putting our eyes not on the prize, but on the small, feeble trinkets that this world has to offer. We're not even shedding weight, we're gathering weight. We're going around with our backpacks and putting rocks of boulders of burdens, anger and bitterness that we carry. We're soiling ourselves. In fact, when we're jogging along, we're looking behind us because of our past. Keeping our eyes. You can't run backwards. You watch what's behind you. You look at other people and you'll trip up and you'll fall. You should be running for your life. Not picking up more rocks. Not entangling yourself. Not clinging to sin. Cut it off of you. Run from it. Shed it. Run from destruction. Put your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes on the witnesses. Let the witness bear witness in your ears over and over. He is faithful. I'm weary and I'm tired. He's faithful. I feel like I'm running alone. Don't worry. He'll never leave you or forsake you. My heart is broken. Don't worry. He binds up the brokenhearted. My body aches. Don't worry. He helps the afflicted. Hear the witnesses. What they say to you. Run. Run in faith. Run the course that's set before you. I'm preaching better than y'all acting. Lay aside every weight. In the story of Mark, to help you grasp what I'm talking about here this morning. The story of Mark, chapter number 10. There was a blind man on the side of the road. He couldn't get to Jesus. And he lay there on the side of the road and he cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Even though he's blind, and they kicked him, said, "Shut up. Don't you see the teacher's trying to teach?" He laid in the dust and still cried out to Jesus. But then Jesus called him. Jesus called the blind man. And in Mark chapter number 10, verse 50, and throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and he came to Jesus. Does that resonate with you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you smell what I'm cooking? He threw off his cape. This can't stay on me. I got to get to him. I don't want this hindering me. This ain't going to trip me up. I got to throw it off. I got to go after him. Then nothing's going to deter me. I'm going to be focused with a laser focus on him. I got to put my eyes on him. Even though I'm blind, if I can't see him, I'll hear him calling me. Do you hear me? He couldn't hear. He couldn't see him, but he still came to him because he called him. Even if you don't see where this road leads, still listen for his voice. Read his word. The blind man throws off his cloak and comes to Jesus because Jesus called him. You know, it don't matter what you call me. No matter what you say about me. No matter what kind of noise is going on around me. I heard him call my name. I heard him call me. You call me whatever you want. Give me whatever nickname you want. Call me whatever my affliction is. Call me whatever pain and whatever generational curse I carry. Call me whatever you like. But I heard him call me. So this cloak can't stay on me. I can't lay down here in the dust anymore. I got to go and get in the race. I got to run for my life, for he called me. I don't have time to go into a slight jog or veer off the way. I have to keep my eyes and my ears open to what he said because he called me. I hope you're having as much fun as I am. Here he says, "Let us run with endurance." What's going to drive you to keep running? What's going to cause you to have endurance? Oh, don't be confused. When he calls you, there will be obstacles. There will be trouble. You actually will hear the hounds of hell licking at your heels as you run. You'll feel the flames on the back of your neck as you run for your life, for your soul. What's going to give you endurance? Is it training? Is it being hydrated? Is it tithing? Is it being baptized 3 or 4 times until it sticks? What's going to cause you to run with endurance? I'm so glad you asked. The thing that will give you endurance is him. He is our hope. He will give you strength. I ain't telling you that the road is easy. I'm not. We sing an old song. I'm going up on the rough side of the mountain We sing that, but if the mountain was smooth, you'd slide down. The rough side of the mountain. When you're going up on the rough side, you get the scrapes and the scars. Your knees get cut. Your arms burn. Your lungs burn. The wind whips at you. But you have endurance because of Him. You keep on keeping on because of Him. It ain't in you. It ain't about you. It ain't for you. It's for His glory. Romans 11, 36. All things are from Him, to Him, and through Him. It's all about Him. He gives you the endurance. He lays out the race before you. Are you running? Are you running for your soul? Are you running for your life? That man threw off his cloak. He sprang up and he came to Jesus in Mark 11, 50. Have you sprung up? Are you about the business of God? Are you chasing after what He called you to do? Well, He didn't call me to preach. Everybody ain't a preacher, but everybody's a reacher. Are you reaching those for Jesus? Let us run with endurance. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul tells us, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, when he says, I press on towards the goal, what he does there in the original language, he uses a play on words. That means he leans in. Have you ever watched the marathon? And they're running. And the runner's coming towards the finish line where the tape is. Have you ever noticed they lean in? Have you ever noticed they throw themselves into the finish line? Have you ever noticed they don't lean back? They don't run from the finish line. They lean in. I ask the river. I ask the congregation and those who are listening. Have you leaned in? Are you leaning fully in? Completely in? What if he drops me? What if he don't catch me? What if he lets me slip through his fingers? What if he misjudges my weight and he's not strong enough to catch me? I've already challenged you to look at his resume. Is the God who can scoop the oceans in the palm of his hand and lift them up able to carry you? Is the God who just by the works of the tips of His fingers lays the foundation of the cosmos with its stars able to bring you through? Well, in the past He's dropped me. In the past I've been shattered on the floor. Well, we'll get to that, and the author gets about that when we have troubles and trials. Why? You've already heard Alex talking about troubles and trials. Just to give you a quick preview, the reason we have troubles and trials as Christians is to prove our faith. To prove that God is faithful when everybody around you is not faithful. To prove that He'll stick with you when nobody wants to be around you. It proves that He's good when life is bad. That resonates with somebody this morning. When we lay our loved ones down in the dust and we tell them goodbye, it proves that there will be a day where there are no more goodbyes. I just want to remind you, saints, you might be weary today. And you might be tired. You might even be broken. You might be so broken you can't run anymore. Rest assured, those who are on the straight and narrow, who are broke down without gas on the side of the road, don't worry. When you can't get to Him, He gets to you. When you are so broken, you can't pull it together, don't worry. He'll hold you together. When you have no endurance, know that He don't get NSF fees at the bank. If you know what I mean, hallelujah. If you don't, glory to God to you. But NFS means that you ain't got non-sufficient funds. He doesn't say, oh man, how am I going to get him out of this? I ain't got no more grace. I ain't got no more strength. I ain't got no more power. Our God doesn't know anything about that. He's full of strength. He's full of power. And He's full of grace. So why aren't you leaning in? Leaning in. People who lean in hear that we're having church and say, I'm all in. I'm going. Oh, it's raining. I better not go because I might get my car wet. I might mess up my new hairdo. I just got it done. I just got to set. I don't want to. Well, it's sunny. I could be out on the lake somewhere. People who all lean in, who get their endurance from God, who are saved simply by grace, there ain't no question about it. If you don't go to the river, you go somewhere to hear about Jesus and what he's done for sinners like us. Right. I got to hear about him. I got to hear that old story. How he saved a wretch from me. He saved a wretch like me and from him. God saved us from himself. His wrath was going to be poured out on sinners, but he saved us. I don't know why he saved me. I don't know why he decided to predestine me for salvation, redeem me, and capture me. I don't know why. That don't seem fair. I know. I'm the main one. I know. If you get fair, everybody gets hell. But it's only by grace. Amen. So weary traveler, I know you're on this path and it seems like everything's come against you. Stuff that you can't even talk about. Nobody quite understands. But God has fashioned the path. He knows where you are and where you're going. You're never too far where he can't see you. And you're never a place where he can't reach you. I'll say that again. You're never where he can't see you. And you're never where he can't reach you. That's right. You can't run too far from him. Yes. That he can't get to you. You can never in such a dark place that he can't see you, for God even sees in the dark. Right, Addie? Don't God see in the dark? God sees in the dark. No. The baby knows. Do you know?
Yes, hallelujah.
God sees in the dark. How do I know? Because that's where he found me. In the dark. Oh, a dark place. Dark. You got to say it twice. Dark. I wasn't in sin. I was in sin. He set me on my feet. In the days when I don't have strength to hold myself up, he holds me. When I don't have clarity of mind, he clears my mind. When my heart is broken, that's okay. He holds my heart. And he makes me into the image of Christ. That's what the rest of the verse is all about. We'll get there next week. And I really want to invite you to be here because you're going to not want to miss that. Where God makes us into the image of his Son. That's why you suffer. That's why you go about life the way you do. The wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. All your sin was poured out on Jesus. The sin that needed an answer was placed on Jesus. And God crushed him. So why do we have hard times? To make us into the image of Christ. For if you went through this life and you never had troubles, then you won't be able to testify with the witnesses that he's faithful. You won't be able to testify that he's one who comes into valleys and finds the broken. You won't be able to testify that he sets the captives free. You won't even have that experience. But one day when you get gray hair, if you got any hair, you'll gather those around you and mature and those in the young in faith, and they'll speak to you, say, tell us, is God faithful? Oh, yes, he's faithful. When I went to the cabinet, they want no food. Somehow he fed me. When I rolled into church on fumes, somehow I made my way back home and I was able to go to work the next day. Or when I checked the bank, there was plenty of money. When I checked my health, I was in perfect health. But pride had a grip on me. It held me like a prisoner. The thing about pride, it turned an angel into a devil. He delivered me from my pride. He saved me in spite of me. How would you ever know? How would you ever grow if it don't rain? Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So I feel like I'm in a house full of witnesses today.
Hallelujah.
Just like in chapter number 11. Therefore, these great cloud of witnesses, it's good to come together, to deny not the assembly together, to come together, to stir each other in the faith, to know that we're not alone. Even though this wicked world is wicked, God still reigns over the wicked world. He's still in control. He's still in power. People may be running around confused. What are we going to do? Well, you can lay your head on your pillow at night with full confidence knowing that God is in control and everything's going to be all right. My hope is not found in a vaccine. My hope is not found in masks. It's not found in 6 foot apart social distancing. My hope is not found in nuclear weapons and the might of the American army. My hope is not found in border security. My hope is not found in my skin color. My hope is not found in my tax bracket or my denomination or even my deacons or my preacher. My hope is found in nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. On Christ alone I stand and his righteousness alone. So my hope is in him. So you may be weary. Here's what I want you to do. Don't cast your eyes on your feet as they're dragging along in this path. Don't look at your neighbor and say, "You tired too? I'm tired. I'm about thirsty." Don't do that. Don't turn around and look at how far you've came. Cast your eyes on Jesus. He's the prize. He's the reason you'll have endurance. He's the reason you'll carry on. He's the reason you'll get up tomorrow when you face depression. He's the reason when your body aches and you're hurting. Jesus is faithful as you shuffle along. Jesus will never leave me or forsake me. When my heart is broken, it's okay. Jesus loves me. Before you even got here this morning, Alex came up and played at the piano. He played a really good song. Everybody knows it. It's "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." For the Bible tells me so. I don't care if you love me or not. Well, actually I do, but it kind of matters. You got to love your brother, so you got to love me. But it don't matter what this world does to me because Jesus loves me. This will give you endurance for the trail ahead, the path ahead. Oh, weary traveler, keep your eyes and cast them on Jesus, the founder and the finisher of our faith. Amen, Pastor.
Amen.
As we get ready to end service here today, I know there's a lot of weary people. They see the state of the world and they're concerned. The hell, we're going to hell in a handbasket. I ain't in that.